It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Yes, good evening. It's quite common for people to cross the dial and listen to this man speaking, of course me, and think that this man is crazy. What's he talking about? And then, of course, some people have a permanent view of that and are not about to change it, unfortunately. They'll die that way. However, some of you have a soul. And in that moment when you hear me, there's a certain shock, as those others that may never recover will, you know, find fault with it or take umbrage to that moment, and usually with some resentment, and reject what I'm saying outright as I'm some raving lunatic. However, you are different. Those of you who have searching souls, you may think that. But then you'll rethink that maybe next day or two, and hear me a time or two. Maybe you perchance would find the program again accidentally, and this time suddenly you understand me. Or say to yourself, no, he's not crazy, I am. What am I thinking? Well, anyway, I hope that that isn't that way. I hope that most of you can hear my words, where I'm coming from, and say, wow, you know, I've always thought that, but I doubted it. And it's this doubt that follows you, this disbelief in your original knowing, which would be otherwise faith, that has brought you to despair. And there is a reason, a key, to having such a faith that no one can ever take it away from you again, no matter what. You must hold fast to your faith, and not the faith that the artificial faith that you sort of make up for by looking for approval so that people like you and believe in you so you believe in yourself. I'm not speaking about that. That's not true faith, is to think to yourself, you know, I'm not going to ever doubt myself, I'm going to believe in myself, but you may be believing in a self gone wrong. See, if you try to believe in a self without seeing that the self that you're believing in, you're trying to absorb hard. You see, I'll explain that after the break. This is such an important point. As a matter of fact, I've got to make a note to myself while I'm talking to you, talking about the faith in self. I'll make a note to faith in self, because you need to really grasp that the faith that you sometimes have in yourself, thinking that you're never going to lose faith again like you did once upon a time, you don't realize you're having faith in a self gone wrong, and therefore that is why you get worse. Now, does that sound crazy? Can you have a false, really try hard and have a false faith in yourself, and by that seek others to see you as you want to see yourself, so that you never lose that which you now think is faith, but isn't? It's faith in something that's gone wrong, but you keep believing the wrong isn't wrong, because you're fighting against doubting yourself. You never want to doubt yourself again, but now that something's gone wrong, you need to doubt that. I will explain this after my station break, because this is such a powerful point. If you like to discuss this subject with me, if it strikes a chord, anything I say strikes a chord, would you be good enough to give me a call and discuss it with me and get it off your chest? Speak to me about it. It's so good to sort of not have your secret life and be tangled up with yourself and talk to another fellow human being that understands, you know, I do understand your complexity. You don't understand your own, and I'm here. I have trained. I've been brought up. I've been gifted, if you like, to understand these peculiarities of human nature and help you as a searching person to come through it and never lose faith again, never lose the real faith again. There's a difference between false faith and real faith. And now, ladies and gentlemen, please go to my website, FHU.com. By the way, Sunday morning sessions, this Sunday we had a small viewing of about 200 people as a test to have for a video Sunday morning sessions. It was a very high quality video. It's like watching a fine movie. So I think on Sundays now, we'll try to get it done this week so that everyone will be able to watch us a whole week, not just Sunday mornings, but you can stay home instead of going to church and even may call in. We're working on those arrangements. I just want you to know. It's FHU.com, and this is just into the future, just a little way. Thank you. We'll be right back.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Yes, I deal in faith, the real kind. And to bring you to it is not easy, because the tendency is for you to develop the false faith you have in yourself that others help you to have. Do you understand what I just said? Now, I'm going to take some calls about, and it's going to be a lot about faith, because the root of everything that's wrong with us is our false faith that we have in ourselves, or the false faith we have in others. Just look at all the false faith that people have in Reverend Wright, who's very wrong, but people have faith in him, because it's the polar opposite of what's true. And isn't that what evil is, the polar opposite of what's true? And, you know, people who are mentally ill are tormented by, it's always a moral tormenting. It's always something polar opposite to what is noble and good, tormenting the person who's in the mental in asylum, or always taunting about he's worthless and stupid. And, you know, that hopeless and despair is just the opposite of hope and happiness and all the rest of the good stuff. See? So it's always the polar opposite. There's a dark side. And there's a dark side that that gives you a kind of faith. So, in my opening discussion, now I'm going to take my calls, so just very quick. There is an experience we all have in our life where our innocence is stolen from us, and we are degraded, we are disappointed, and we're very angry, and in that moment of anger, we fall from faith. And then we become, as we fall from faith, we come to the polar opposite, to anger, fear, and doubt, and we seek self-assurance. We sometimes make up our mind, having learned the lesson, that when we doubt ourselves, which we do when we're angry and upset and resentful, we are seduced into doubting what is right, and we have terrible pain of that, and we sense in our minds that doubting ourselves was really the original sin. Adam doubted God and believed, you know, the devil, so to speak, through Eve. It's still going on, by the way. But he loves to hear lies from a woman, don't you, sir? You love to hear, you know, you have telephone lies, don't you? You have Reverend Wright lies. People love lies. It has a strange way of reinforcing a sense of worth. And coming back to this, your individual aspect of it, rather than the broad spectrum, is that in your own mind, each one of you who may know that faith, when you lose faith, that is the sin. But now when you try to have faith to make sure that you're never going to lose faith again, it's you're assuming that you have it still, but you don't. You've lost it. So when you try to have faith in yourself, you're having faith in the wrong self, which needs to be doubted. And I'm here to make you doubt the kind of faith you have in yourself, because you're going to die from it. Now do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Now let me take my calls. And we'll try to sort of piece this concept together a little bit at a time, by the way, of you calling this number, 866-8883, 866-8883. And the It's an 800 number, 866-8883, and that's, you call me 9 to 11, those are live hours, and the rest of it, 10 to midnight and midnight to 2 in the morning, they are internet, my internet program, FHU.com, and XM, and many of these same stations. All right, now, we're going to go to our caller from Michigan. Hello, William. What can I do for you?
Hello, Roy.
Hello, William, what can I do?
I have a lot of rage and a lot of hate.
Well, then you just realize that it really works against you, doesn't it? And so when are you going to realize that that you're being trapped into being that way? I mean, it's a deadly trap, because if you had control and you knew it was bad, why can't you do anything about it? Why can't you disabuse yourself of it? Why can't you say, I won't have rage anymore? Why can't you do that if you were in control?
I'm not in control. I'm afraid of getting cancer.
Well, yeah, let's just let that one go, because I don't want to go down there just right this minute. I'm trying to lead you somewhere. But you understand what anger is? It's an out-of-controlness, if there's such a thing as a word like that. Mm-hmm. It means you're out of control. If your anger itself is the state of being out of control. So if you're angry at your anger, because all you can do is be angry because you have a will, and the power of your will, the only power you have isn't faith. The faith I'm speaking about is like effortless, like the ballerina. It has the effect of making you look like you're walking through life like a ballerina floating across the stage, effortless. Everything you do is effortless. But the point is, the resentment you have has tricked you. When you were very young, the injustice of the world, your parents, everyone, teachers, sisters, brothers, whatever it is, they took your innocence away. They took you away from the ruling entity, which is the God who made you and who will give you faith. Very naturally so, but with that faith, you'd have power over anger, which means you won't have any. And then you'd move and have your being with the grace, which has no anger in it. It's not, there's nothing of the world in that. There's nothing worldly, sensuous in it. It's purity of truth. And it expresses... Now, you understand where I'm coming from here?
I'm listening.
But I'm trying to say something about your anger. It's the anger itself, and the resentment you have, and the struggle you have with it, is your own will trying to give yourself, get rid of your depression, your fears. You're trying to get rid of your anger. You know it's something wrong, and you're sort of willing yourself to overcome your anger, as if you had the power to overcome your anger, but you're only throwing fat on the fire. That's all it is, fat on the fire. You are lost, and you cannot save yourself. It's not possible. And there are no programs that the government or any psychiatrist can give you that can give you back your control. Nor do they want to give you back control. That's hard. There are very few psychiatrists that I know of. I know few, but or psychologists that really want to do that for you. They'd rather have you a slave to the system and their drugs. That's what's wrong with our country. Where everybody's a slave to something. We're a system of slaves. Pardon?
I'm a slave to alcohol. I've had
of course you are. Yeah, but it's not the only thing. It's not the only thing. It's one thing after another. Yeah, like women. There you are. There's the other one. There's the two deadly sins right there. But anger is... There are seven deadly sins. There's probably more than that. But ones you recognize, very common. But of all those seven, six of them are sensual. Six are the means by which the first one is maintained. First one is pride that goeth before the fall. And then, pride, so as long as you have pride, it is sustained by rage. That's the one that comes right next to pride, rage, or resentment. There's an even more finely tuned word for it. And so the anger sustains pride, and pride, it wars with God. That's called conflict. And to the degree that you've angry at yourself, angry with people, to the degree as you struggle hopelessly trying to right whatever's wrong with you, is impossible.
How do you lose your pride?
You have to realize you have it first. You have to realize, oh, anger and resentment is the means by which I sustain it. And fantasy with sex and looking for love in all the wrong places, which means like worship, like you're King Kong or that you're Saddam Hussein or Adolf Hitler, who loves the power of the world loving them. You look for glory in your own mini world. You look for love, which is sustaining, gives you a sense of worth, utterly, completely worthless. But you want it anyway, even though it's like drinking salt water. There's nothing else. So you thirst, and then you drink salt water, but you've got nothing else to drink, so you have to drink it, so it makes you thirstier. And that is what the love of the world, the love of the things of the world, because you are, you are slowly but surely submerging yourself, your mind, your soul, you're submerging your consciousness into your mind and your mind into your emotions, and the world makes a home inside you. The emotions rise up inside you and reinforce through imagery and emotion, like watching a movie all day long where you're caught up in this movie all day long and forget to you don't even know you're sitting in your seat in the theater. You're completely lost in your own head. And it's a living death is what it is. And most everybody has it to some degree. Either they will admit it or they won't. They put on a nice face, I get it. You put on a nice face, but everybody has the secret life. To some degree or another, no matter how nice a person appears, we're all dying from it. Even the handlers, the manipulators are dying from it. See? All the way to the top. Mm-hmm. So they deal, in other words, the handlers, system of handlers, and sort of a system of authorities, all the way to the top. You never see the people at the top, never. You never see the people because they're not really people, the spirit. The spirit of Paradise Lost controls whole nations through an archetype individual, like an Adolf Hitler. In America, everybody is a slave in America, and everybody is a slave of something, especially if you're a slave of your wife or your girlfriend. That's where it begins. Especially if you hate your father and are too close to your mother. Or especially if you're caught up with hating your mother and forget that your father has failed you, so you're caught up with your mother trying to free yourself from your mother and bonding yourself to women through her and through your failing relationships with other women, trying to get them to be your mother. See, unconsciously, this is a whole system of things. And I'm just spouting out a whole lot of things at once to show you the hopelessness of trying to save yourself. Now, I'll give you an example. See, it's, and I know you haven't said much, but I'm saying a lot. Forgive me. Jesus says, of myself I can do nothing. The Father within me, he doth it. Why don't you consider letting go and letting God? And then, of course, you'd have to find the way to do that. But that's really the very important conclusion that you must come to. Otherwise, nobody can help you. You have to know that there's something you're not able to help yourself. No, you can't help yourself. Nobody can help you. No matter how much they try, they make you worse. They make you dependent on their efforts. They themselves will become frustrated or addicted to your controlling you. See? Like the drug pushers is addicted to controlling your life and ruling you in your life. And you're addicted to his services. Then with your wife, it may be the same way. Or you can reverse that sometimes and make it the other way around with a husband. But we are in a system of control. We do not see. We're all lost in our thoughts, all of us to some degree, with very few people otherwise. And when we're not lost in our thoughts, even the greatest scientists are lost in their thoughts. And they do have epiphanies and moments whereby they're able to see beyond. And then when they get a little glory and acclaim, they feel very important. Movie stars feel very important when they entertain you and get glory and acclaim. But you see their end. If you see the horrors they go through, the drugs, the alcohol, nothing on this earth can give you faith in yourself. You know, the love of the world makes you God's enemy. And I'm just giving you a little preachment. See, so Were you there? The question is, do you know what question to ask? I'm just hinting that you should. The question that I want you to ask is somewhere buried in what I just said. I said many, many, many things. One of those things you should be. I'm not going to tell you which one it is, but I actually gave you the clue.
The faith in God to save me instead of trying to save myself.
Ah, that's good. Yeah, that's right. So now what happens when, what should happen when you really believe that? When you really believe you can't save yourself, what should that do?
You should repent. You should get better.
No. You should immediately realize that you should stop trying. Immediately, the knowledge of what you just said, if it is true in you, if you haven't, you may have not suffered enough yet. I find people only listen to me. They only listen to my talks on Sunday morning. They will get the CD and cassettes and books only when they're in great agony and can go no further. For the most part, that's the way it is. People listen to me for years and don't ever follow what I tell them, but they like listening. But they go on with their lives just the same. They think if they can listen to me, I'm a good fellow, and they're good. If they like me, that means it's okay. As if you like Jesus, that's okay too. It doesn't work. So what I'm trying to say to you, what should happen naturally, is that the sense of struggling with yourself should mysteriously fall away. And you find yourself not struggling with yourself. It's sort of all of a sudden, it's true. You accepted that first truth of yourself. You can do nothing. And that is not because I said it, because the realization is so strong, it stops you all by itself. How do you hear me say that? Does it do this to you now?
I shouldn't give in and I shouldn't fight, and I always give in. I mean, I give in.
I know, but there's the word. But see how I'm listening to your language. You say, you were trying to say by repeating me, you say, I should not give in. It means you struggle not to. If you struggle not to give in, you are struggling.
Uh-huh.
If you're trying not to try, you're trying, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
Is there no way out? I've told you there's a way out. Just realize, wait a minute. This is what you might say to yourself without words. Without words. Now, I deliver the words. But then it should occur to you like a little light going on. Wow. Where does the idea... Because the idea might come right next to it. An idea may come right next to it. But the dark side may talk to you and say, what do you mean? You don't want to listen to that fellow. Because if you stop struggling, you're sure to sink. But you're in a swamp. You sink, whether you struggle or not. But if you struggle, you sink, you go quicker. And that's the way your life will go. So in the ordinary sense, if you simply buy the idea of not struggling and sort of distract your mind with something else, you'll sink just the same. What it should do, which is a rare experience for most people, but I'm trying to explain it, what it should happen is the fact that I mentioned it will run around inside your head, and all of a sudden, your mind will go through a changing state. And suddenly you realize, wow, I'm not struggling anymore. Suddenly I see my faults. Oh, that's I see what's wrong now. It's anger. That's how I lost it, by being resentful towards my mother, my father. See, I couldn't help it then. But then all of a sudden things begin to unfold. And the first thing you see is your rage. And you see how you're trapped by that. I know, but that's not dead in you. They're still alive in you, sir.
I was looking at it the other day. I was looking at, do I hate my mother and father, you know?
What you haven't looked in is this question. You are sitting there trying to figure yourself out. I'm glad you brought up the subject, because nobody can figure themselves out. There's no need to. If you figured yourself out, you still couldn't fix it. Don't you see that? Okay, so why don't you just, I'm going to let you go now.
All right.
And just, I want you to, just let it sort of sit quietly inside your head and see where it goes. And call me back again.
All right.
All right, William. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you're very welcome. This is a shotgun approach. I said many things, all tied together. Something I said should have sparked something. And it may be not the one I was talking to about, the gentleman about. a few moments ago, William, I think his name was. We are embarking on a new program, meaning for the, well, we are renovating the ranch. There's the delayed, what do they call it, deferred maintenance. It's 30 years, it's sort of kind of run down, and through sickness and all kinds of things happening. Neglect, usually most employees and people who volunteer didn't care that much. So I wasn't there a lot, except on Sunday mornings. But, you know, we're going to open the ranch soon, one of these days, when we've got it all fixed for those coming home from the war with post-traumatic stress disorder. And we're going to take care of that, because I see that the government really doesn't want, the forces in the government really don't want our children, our soldiers alive. They prefer them to commit suicide. I really mean that, because all of the positions of authority are occupied by socialists, you see. And they don't want innocence. They don't want you to find your sovereignty again. They want to keep you confused, drug addicted. They ruin your schools. And I've said, you heard me say it before, the school's in a crisis, the country's in a crisis, people are in a crisis, politics is in a crisis. They function from crisis, they create chaos in everywhere. And then, of course, they take charge. They create the crisis, and then they give you the solution. That's how Hitler did it. That's how all politicians, all of the dictators, would-be dictators do it. Even in your home, the principle's the same. It's called the Hegelian dialectic. You go to the website, FHU.com, and click on that. Click right on the top of the page, and it'll tell you all about it. And you go, wow, that's how it's done. See? So, and I'm saying the same I'm not saying the VA, but maybe up in Washington, when the Marxists get into power, which they have, in the environmentalists and Marxists mostly, there are some real ones, but mostly not. That's why you don't have any gas. It's not about the environment, don't you see? It's not about the war, it's about controlling. It's making us lose the war, making us, degrading us by, you know, losing wars and demoralizing our soldiers. And when they come back, they're not going to get the treatment. It's not the American way. It's those who have got into power through several generations of us not looking out for ourselves and not standing our ground and buying politically correctness, so on and so forth. This is not a politically correct program. I will not be politically correct ever, because I'm not free of it. That's not a way of being correct. That's a way of being wrong and caving in. And I would like to marshal all those who consider themselves Christians and Jewish people, who consider themselves America because that's the spirit of America, to listen to what I have to say and never lose their faith. I will show you how to have your faith again. You should have learned it in church. You should have learned it on your father's knee. But they lost it. They didn't have it either. And you should have gone to a psychiatrist, but he doesn't believe in God. He believes in chemistry. And so on and so forth. Should have learned it in school, but they went disassembled you in school. They just did the opposite. They took you away from faith and drummed in their confusion and made you rebel against your own country. Make you think your country did it, but no, the imposters, the bats that got into the belfry, they did it, and they want you to believe that America's bad, but they're the ones that did it in the name of America, see, so that you'd hate this country. Don't you understand that now? Now, I'm going to show you how to find faith again and see those slime bags for what they are, okay? Some of them are just mixed up, and maybe we can awaken them. Our 866 Radio Roy, the program, please call me, and with your problems, and I'll show you how you find your faith again this evening. But you have to understand what faith isn't first. Okay, 866 Radio Roy, FHU.com. Show numbers is 5197. We'll be right back.
Noble warriors, the memories of combat in your mind are paralyzing you and hurting your loved ones. This inner chaos threatens us. Anger, isolation, depression, violence, and even suicide. Get your emotional body armor. Go to FHU.com and click on Patriot Outreach to protect yourself against the IEDs of your mind. You will learn to observe a firefight as opposed to being mentally in it. Patriot Outreach is a valuable tool. There is no cost. Our service is free to all warriors, veterans, retirees, government civilians, battlefield contractors, and family members. Visit FHU.com and click on Patriot Outreach. Discover how to conquer the enemy within. Visit FHU.com and click on Patriot Outreach. You are not alone. We are here to help you. You must reach out and accept help. Now you can put an end to the endless loop of negative thoughts. Visit FHU.com and click on Patriot Outreach today.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just meant to tell you during the break, during the show, I mean the program, that the Sunday morning sessions are going to be videos, so that you'll be actually seeing videos live on Sunday morning soon, maybe this Sunday. We did one last Sunday, and 200 people saw it. It was just a test run. And we, you know, I believe that Greg Lambert, who's our website control freak, excuse the expression, he was going to just straighten out some of the little blips that went, because it was the first run. That's why we only did it to 200 people that we called, as someone called at least. And we're going to have that, and the quality is going to be very high, so you can fill your whole screen with it. It's going to be high definition. And there is a possibility that you'll be able to call in with questions, but not right away. It's just like going to a seminar, actually. And that way I can do seminars all over the country, and you don't have to go anywhere. And you can donate, which is what I hope you do now when you're just listening to the Sunday morning conversations anyway. FHU.com. Would you please listen to the Sunday morning discussions and see if you like them? But I think you'll like the video better. But we still have to have a little leeway. I talked to Greg today, and he said, well, we got a few little glitches, but it's eminently doable. And it did work, and you'll see last Sunday's was quite lively. Actually, quite very lively. I mean, it is always lively when I go after people who just sit there, like sitting on their thumbs, and look at me like, you know, the cat swallow the canary. And they just won't ever say anything. And then I go after them. And I go in after, like, you know, a ferret after a rabbit down the rabbit hole, and try to get out what's bugging them. And I do. He's not your usual preacher. I'm not your ordinary preacher. But you could learn that to go down your own rabbit hole and ferret out your problems in a very special way. It's very simple. Learning to be still. And you go to FHU.com, and download the CD. But read a little bit. Read a little bit first. Read a little bit. Just to show you, you know, all the different illnesses, the problems you can solve by learning to get quiet and becoming detached from your thoughts so you can be in control. 866 Radio Roy, FHU.com. Thank you. We'll be right back. All right, we're going to go to Ariel. This number is 866-8883, and that's 800 number. Excuse me, I'm mumbling to myself. This is what happens when you get old. 866-8883, and that's an 800 number. And that's 9 to 11, that's lifetime, and the rest of it is whatever you get on the Internet and XM from 10 to 2 in the morning. Then it plays back, you know, many other different hours on many of these same stations. All right. Ariel, what can I do for you?
have a question. I've been meditating probably for a couple of years, and I've noticed lately that probably in the past month or so, I have I have extreme resentment towards my stepfather, and I'm just noticing it. And normally, like when I'm meditating, like I'll see those things, might be there for a day or two, you know, I'll just kind of watch it and it'll pass away. But this one,
Is this a recent discovery, or is it something?
Yeah. What happened is, like, kind of the healthier I get, the more he starts needling at me. And I don't go over there too much, but I had to go over there a while ago.
Yeah.
And he kind of, you know, like you say, the mask comes off. He did one of those things. And he didn't get
It awakened your, it rekindled your anger that you had as a kid.
Right, yeah, he didn't get a rise out of me, like, when he attacked, you know, like there was no reaction, like, I handled it calmly, but I remembered all the stuff he did when I was a kid, and that's what keeps coming up, and I see it, and it passes. Well,
okay, how ready are you, for the next stage, which you may not have to do, but it would be worth considering if you could just... get rid of the hate you have first, because the next stage is to confront him with what he, you know, what's his first name?
He was, you know how you say...
he just, let me have his first name so I can just give you a little skit.
Sure, Donald. Can I tell you real quick? This might help you out.
Yeah.
You know how you say, like, people, die a little bit when you come into a room, like bad people do? I can see that, because I've noticed on other people.
They wilt a little bit. They wilt when you're present.
Yeah, the brighter I get, the more it's like kills them a little bit.
Yes.
And so that's kind of where I am. But
I get all that, but now let me get on point now.
Uh-huh.
The solution is, since he's alive and well, and he's not that fierce because you went to visit him, it should naturally slip out of your mouth. You know, say, you know, Donald, is that, you say his name was Donald?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. Say, Donald, would you mind sitting down for a minute? I need me to talk with you. I've got something on my mind. This is how it might go. I've had a great deal of anger towards you over these years. I have to admit this is very wrong. I have to admit my faults. And you know, I just couldn't get over the hating you. And it's ruined my life. I just want you to know that I'm really sorry for that. But you're hateable. And I was a little kid. I didn't know any better. I know better now because I'm a man. And now that I'm a man, I have a conscious control over it, so I don't have to hate you anymore. But I have to confront you with these things. You were very cruel. You did this and did that. And I need to do this, but not for my sake, but for your sake. So that you will see what you've done and you will be sorry for that. That's all. But you don't have to say, so you will be sorry, because those are unnecessary words. I just said that. And you leave it with him.
I'm afraid I'd give him a heart attack or something.
No, if he gets a heart attack, it's too bad.
That's just
a ruse. That is false sympathy. That's fake. What you just told me was fake. It's a false sympathy. It's almost like you have no mercy. I would put it this way.
Right.
If I could get on the telephone, on the radio, and speak truth, the absolute truth, to people all over the world all at once, knowing full well that 95% would drop dead, I'd do it anyway, and I'd be happy with the 5% of good people we have left.
Right.
But in other words, in that sense, I'd have no mercy. I have no consideration for the outcome. You have too much consideration for the outcome, and you actually... In your mind, in your answer, you're chickening out. You're not ready for that. I didn't think you'd be ready.
That's the kind of answer I
get when you're not ready.
That's an excuse on my part.
Yeah, it's an excuse on your part.
Okay. Well, the other thing, too, the other thought that crossed my mind, like, that occurred to me, like I should go say...
No, not listen. Look, do me a favor.
Yeah.
Spare me the details.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've been doing this a long time.
Okay.
You got to drop that anger towards your stepfather and let it go. And whatever the reason, that's what has to happen first. Because otherwise you can't approach him being having not forgiven him, meaning it's not important to him. Forgiving means you still remember it, but somehow it doesn't seem that important.
Yeah, I haven't completely forgiven.
Well, then you have to look at that and just wait for that to pass and see that it is important, for somehow you enjoy holding on to it. You know, that judgment you have towards him is I'll put it in very simple terms. Are you ready? It's a wrong person's way of being right.
Did you understand? Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
You're sitting in judgment.
Going on for this long?
Because it's the only is when you fall from grace, the only way you can be wrong is either be loved by wrong people, or judge them. Then you judge the wrong people good for loving you, and you judge them bad for not loving you.
But either
way, you're always right, never wrong. You're like your mother.
You are like
your mother. You have secret judgments, and you get that from your mother. You don't get that from a man.
Yeah, I regret.
Women are judgmental. Men are not.
Yeah.
Women are born judgmental. Women are born judgmental.
Resentment.
You don't get rid of it. You look at it and say, I see I'm wrong. I'm judged wrong for judging. When I was a little boy, I couldn't help hate my stepfather. And I can understand all the reasons. We could discuss those reasons some other time. But it's just basically in principle, if you want to get over this, you have to do it wholesale. I mean, it's not just a little bit of time. That is a big stumbling block, huge stumbling block. You either see it and get over it, but if you don't get over it, it's because you don't want to. You like it too much. You believe what I'm telling you. There's no such thing as not being able to get over hate. It's not wanting to, because you're made of it. Your self-righteousness is built on it. Do you understand that now? It's not you can't. It's that you're not ready to. Because if you get over it, you know what's going to happen to you? Let's say because there's something inside you that fears getting over it. Is that true or not?
What I was going to say is last night I was meditating, and it's the kind of that feeling where it makes you want to stop meditating, but I know I should keep doing it.
I know, but the answer yes or no is something inside you that doesn't want you to overcome it.
Yeah,
because it fears that if you drop the anger, you'll see it for what it, you'll see the mask, you'll see the entity that rules you and the whole world for what it is, and it will have lost its power.
Absolutely, 100%. That's an idea.
And you will feel like you're dying for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a sustaining life force for the entity which you identify with. As long as you identify with it, you feel like you're alive. But you're not alive. Right now, you're not alive. See, you're not living. You're afraid of life and you're afraid of death. You're afraid to confront.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, that's a living death, and you're afraid of dying. You can't be stuck between two worlds like this. See?
Okay.
In other words, you have to come back to life. And you can only come back to life by allowing yourself to realize such things as I'm speaking to you about. And when you allow yourself to realize it, you suddenly come alive, and now you're on the first rung of being able to speaking up and dealing with your stepfather who's still alive and saying it, being very gracious and very wise in the way you approach things, and very calm and self-assured, so that whatever he says to you, it doesn't faze you anymore, it's his. You walk away leaving your problem that he gave you back to him again. And you stick him with it. For his own good.
Okay.
You stick him with it, and don't worry. And if he drops dead, if he has a heart attack, just say, oh, wow, that's interesting. And you walk away. That's how it must be.
Okay. That kind of.
Got to go now. You can listen. You're babbling too much.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye. You're welcome. All right. 866-8883. Let's see. Ladies and gentlemen, our income has not risen a lot, a little bit, but we need $10,000 a day because now we have 20 employees because we're renovating the ranch. It's really not good enough to have guests there yet. You know, I didn't realize that, you know, how much work needs to be done, so we can spend quite a bit of money now fixing it up. But not so much for the civilians, although it's nice to have you Sunday mornings. But we're going to have it for the veterans of all wars who have emotional disorders or mental disorders, but they're afraid to go to the psychiatrist because they're stigmatizing. And they're branded with a disease, and then they can't get a job, a mental illness. No, they don't have any mental illness. They brought the enemy home, and they don't know how to deal with it. And besides, a lot of psychiatrists are trained in the schools, in the Marxist school universities, so they don't realize they're unwitting dupes to do the bidding of forces they can't see. They're not being taught true psychiatrists, true religion. We're not even taught true religion anymore. God doesn't love you as you are. Believe me, he doesn't. He loves you from what you are. It's called repentance. See, it's a big difference between loving you. It's just a slight difference, you see. He loves, but not as you are. Unconditional love, you misinterpret. You don't understand the meaning of the word. You take it any way you like. However, I tell you that the bureaucratic positions of all our institutions, they are filled with Marxists. They are. And in the ranks of the doctors and psychiatrists, they'll kill you. They will make you believe that the answers in science are not in yourself. Not that there's anything wrong with science, but not to the degree that it's being used and how it's used. No thought is given to your real condition. No understanding of it is available anywhere in this country except here. And at Tall Timber Ranch, we will show you that we can help 50 soldiers every week. Well, not all of them will be helped, but most of them will. We don't get 100% success, but we have maybe 80%, of the soldiers, because, well, there's something about the military that's different from you folk. There is. They're a lot better than you. They die for you, and you're just dying because of your own stupidity. You're not going to war for liberty. You're suffering because you're taking liberties, especially away from others as an authority. 866-8883 and 866 Radio Roy. If you want to call my office tomorrow, we would appreciate very much a donation to keep this program on the air. So what does the VA get? Was it for post-traumatic stress disorder? Is it $9 million? It can't be $9 million. It's $90 million. $90 million to help the veterans to overcome post-traumatic stress disorder. 12,000. That's upgraded. 12,000 commit suicide every year, and I say that doesn't have to happen. And I say the reason why they can only handle 5%, and but they don't handle that well either. And I tell you, it's only because psychiatry is the variety that they're taught in Marxist universities, which really doesn't care about soldiers. It wants to kill them. It wants to compound their misery. That's the whole idea, because Marxism is the enemy of America, and it's homebred. And you have to see it. You see it in the likes of Reverend Wright. You see it in the universities where they refuse the soldiers recruiting and boo them out and throw tomatoes at them or FSFs at them. And the kind of welcome soldiers get. Some cities you can't even walk down the street in your uniform. So on and so forth. No. Something's gone terribly wrong with the institutions of America. There's one institution left right here that cares for you and loves you. I do. I love America the way it was, and if you love America the way it was, and if you can still have it in your heart to know there's something wrong with you and you're part of it, and you've been had, you've been manipulated, you've been degraded by the schools, your education, your parents, who came from the schools and didn't know how to be parents, carefully trained not to love you, but carefully trained to be selfish and to regard you as just in the children is in the way, an impedance to their pleasures. It's the way it is. Hardly any good parents. Percentage-wise, 75% no good. And so you may have come from a no-good family, dysfunctional, actually wicked. And so if you survive this far, maybe you take to what I have to help you back to what you were before they destroyed your innocence by their rejection and their defamations. 866-RADIO-ROY, FHU.com. Would you call the office and get a free CD or download it on the web, FHU.com, no charge. Thank you.
Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
So what's the matter, Las Vegas? You're all guilty there. You won't call me because you're so guilt-ridden. You're either a gambler or you're a dealer or you make a living on people dying. I get it. Is there any real industry there other than, I suppose there is, but not too much, on the industry of exploiting the downfall of idiots? And the idiots love it, and only make a good living off their dying. I wouldn't, it's not my cup of tea. That's not where I would be, but there you are. So, but you have conflicts, and you're on drugs, and you're alcohol. I get it, because where your lifestyle. Your lifestyle is living off, you know, like a parasite. On the, you know, entertainers are parasites. They shouldn't be, but they are parasites. It's all again power, money, importance, and making everybody feel good. Feel. Feel good. Not be good. Feel good. You feel good religions. All that kind of stuff. And parasites. Parasitical preachers. Parasitical entertainers. They understand the nature of your need for excitement and musical exhilarations. Okay. 866-8883. But I would like to... There's another way of looking at life. I enjoy life. I enjoy a little music. I enjoy a little bit of everything. The wise person is temperate. He that seeketh the mastery is temperate at all his ways. You're not temperate, you're addicted. And addicted means you're a slave of something, and someone, and you're in love with your enslaver. You're in actually embracing your in those who enslave you. If you love gambling, you love wild women, you like, you know, sex on the internet and pornography. If you love all those things, you're embracing your violator. Don't you see it? Oh, how you love to embrace your violator, your drug dope pusher, you nincompoop. All right, we're going to take our calls. Okay, let's see. Is it Betty? My goodness me, my glasses can actually reach that far. Hello, Betty, what can I do for you?
I have a trouble with overeating.
Well, you have a problem with resenting men.
Right.
That's behind it.
That's behind it?
You're eating the forbidden fruit yourself. You haven't got a man to give it to seduce, because they all ran away.
Right.
And so that you're feeding the man in yourself.
Oh.
Because you have to be your own man, because you haven't got one.
Oh.
So every time you get frustrated, you eat.
Right.
Frustration, even when you think about them. You get frustrated about your life you have without one, and the ones you had did you wrong.
Right, they did.
So, but you see, but the hatred of men, the contempt for men, was handed to you by your mother.
Right.
See, it's generational. It passes from mother to daughter, ever since the beginning. You unconsciously set up your men to fail. You didn't know. Look, I recognize a nice woman when I hear one. You're a nice lady. Because I heard how you responded to me, you weren't angry. You immediately recognized that I was right.
Right.
But also I say, I do not lay this to you. But then I lay it to your mother, but I do not lay it to her. I lay it to her mother. And if you go back far enough, you lay it to the first woman but it wasn't her fault, Adam didn't have the courage to, or the love of truth, the nobility of character, the fidelity with God. He wanted to be his own God, so he secretly wanted to eat the fruit himself and eat. So he didn't say, put the fruit down. She convinced him that it was okay and it wasn't. And he falls. So therefore, you have the first failing father.
Right.
And the first unloved mother. And you can know that Eve had contempt for him because they died together, because the fact that he drew the darkness out of her. In other words, he caught something inside her. It wasn't her. It was something that the serpent, we call it.
Right.
See, that spoke through her. And he needed to rescue her from that by saying, put that fruit down, so the obedience would go to him. The honor and the love and respect would go to Adam and him to God.
Right.
No, everything is upside down now. Men go back to women and draw the worst out of them.
Sure.
And that's what you give. You don't realize that you gave yourself to men and they drew the worst out of you.
Yes, they did.
And you fed the worst in them. Do you understand that now? That is now that no one needs to look to the ruins of all the nations that are buried under the sand to look to the origin of man. Man fell from a nobler beginning. And we have this, we trail this, the knowledge of this in our lives as a promise of salvation. There's always a promise of being saved. So you're born subject to your mother, who's subject to her mother, and all failing fathers.
Right.
You give birth to failing boys who grow up failing fathers because you nurture them.
Right.
And you nurture your husband, and he failed you.
He sure
and then all, and your boy, your sons, if you have any, are just left with you. You can't help, you cannot help but love them in a way that makes them dependent or run from your love. All right, just drop your anger towards men and you'll be fine. Go to my website. Give this lady a CD and some books, especially on sexuality and, you know, overeating. You know, that will match her needs. Thank you. All right, we'll be right back. Show numbers are 5197. The next hour is 5198. Hope to see you on the other side of the break. I'm Roy Masters with Advice Line 866 Radio Roy, FHU.com. Thank you.
Noble warriors, the memories of combat in your mind are paralyzing you and hurting your loved ones. This inner chaos threatens us. Anger, isolation, depression, violence, and even suicide. Get your emotional body armor. Go to FHU.com and click on Patriot Outreach to protect yourself against the IEDs of your mind. You will learn to observe a firefight as opposed to being mentally in it. Patriot Outreach is a valuable tool. There is no cost. Our service is free to all warriors, veterans, retirees, government civilians, battlefield contractors, and family members. Visit FHU.com and click on Patriot Outreach. Discover how to conquer the enemy within. Visit FHU.com and click on Patriot Outreach. You are not alone. We are here to help you. You must reach out and accept help. Now you can put an end to the endless loop of negative thoughts. Visit FHU.com and click on Patriot Outreach today. If you are a veteran who needs help coping with PTSD, or you know a veteran who needs that help, visit www.patriotoutreach.org. Here is what Colonel Antonio Monaco, United States Army, has to say.
The key problem to PTSD is reimagining the trauma again. How you can overcome it is you and I go into the movie theater together, and as the movie begins, we slowly become involved and we start becoming part of the movie. Well, if I hit your arm and I broke the image of the movie and he remembers he's in the audience, when he goes back to the movie, it doesn't have that emotional bond, or it doesn't have that tie to the imagery in the movie. It breaks the endless loop of thought.
For free, confidential materials to help you deal with PTSD, visit www.patriotoutreach.org.
All military, all veterans, all retirees, government civilians and battlefield contractors and their families can have access to this.
www.patriotoutreach.org.